Apologies.
Apologies.
Getting every time. Regular attendance, apology and leave of absence. There is nil. Item three, response to previous public questions taken on notice. Question one, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Dongara Public Town Hall restoration works, what is the project, works, or purpose of the funding? The response, the purpose of the funding is to allow local governments to undertake works to improve the resilience of the evacuation facilities and other community infrastructure or improve resilience in the community. The restored town hall will enable its activation as an incident control centre or emergency welfare centre if required. This development is part of our broader emergency management strategy to ensure that both Tonga and Port Denison are equipped with their own emergency coordination points. In the event of a natural disaster, particularly one that cuts off access to across the Irwin River, having dedicated facilities in both town sites will be critical to providing timely and effective support to our residents. Question two, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Irwin District Historical Society. In regards to the Dongara Public Town Hall restoration works, have any of the works commenced? Response, electrical and lighting upgrades have been completed. Contractors have been engaged to carry out roof and gutter repairs as well as external repointing of the building. Discussions are currently underway with an additional contractor to address internal roofing and repairs to doors and windows. Question three, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Dongara Public Town Hall restoration works, has any of the funding been spent, and if so, on what? Response, yes, an inspection and scope of work by specialist architects, formulation of tender packages, electrical assessments and electrical work and carpentry assessments and estimations. Question four, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Dongara Public Town Hall restoration works, why is there a difference in the budgeted funding between $240,000 last year and $256,000 this year? Response, a small portion of the funding initially designed for a different project remained unspent. The residual amount was reallocated to support the restoration works of the Dongara Town Hall. Question five, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Society. With regards to the Dongara Public Town Hall restoration works, if work had not commenced by the end of the last financial year, 2024-25, there's a typo there, so it says 2024-45.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just a fair amount of time there. Will the funds be carried over in full to the 25-26 financial year for the same or similar work on the hall? Response, funds will be carried forward to the 2025-26 financial year for use on restoration works to the Dongara Public Town Hall. Question six, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Denison House capital renewal works, what is the project, works, or purpose of the $25,000 funding set aside in the adopted annual budget? Response, the funding is designated for the construction of a path and access ramp from the disability car park to the veranda entry, including necessary repairs to the surrounding concrete veranda. This work aligns with the Disability Access and Inclusion Plan date to ensure safe and compliant access and egress to the community public building, supporting its ongoing use as a venue for regular events and as a community space. Question seven, Mr. Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Denison House capital renewal works, has any of the work commenced? Response, no. This work is pending adoption in the 25-26 financial year budget. Question eight, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Denison House capital renewal works, has any of the funding been spent, and if so, on what? Response, yes. $1,600 was spent in the 2024-25 the design of the new footpath disability access point? Question 9. Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Denison House capital renewal works, is any of the funding available for conservation works on the riverbank terracing in front of the building? Response, no. Question 10, Bruce Baskerville, Chair, Erwin District Historical Society. With regards to the Denison House capital renewal works, work had not been had not commenced by the end of last financial year 24-25. Will the funds be carried over in full to the 25-26 financial year for the same or similar work on Denison House? Response, funds will be carried forward to the 25-26 financial year and will be used to complete the disability access ramps and veranda repairs. Okay, thank you. That's the list of questions. I'll move on to item 4, public question time. So I just open up the floor for public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Ross at 181 Point Leander Drive, Port Denison. Why do the few houses in Erwin Crescent have priority over the 30-odd park homes just to the north of the flooded, sloppy, muddy $10 fee recreation vehicle camping area? What it said in the minutes were 24-hour RV parking areas located in its current position to ensure appropriate separation from permanent residences.
And so, John, would you mind just repeating that question for me, please, John?
There were three houses in Erwin Crescent,
yeah,
and there are about 30 park homes just behind the camping area. So why have the three houses got priority over the 30 park homes? That was the answer to that question from the last time.
Well, I think what I said last time was that some of the, I guess that, what was some of the things that were being carried out by people staying in the park homes were not acceptable to the residences in that area and had been reported. So what we tried to do is create some separation between the residents and the park owners, John, just to, so that I guess, conflict still didn't exist.
So it doesn't matter about the 30 park owners behind
them? John, it's a council decision to where that area is located. And I think council have given it careful consideration on that decision.
Okay, it's wildflower season and this area is a disgrace and we are listed as an RV-friendly town. I've seen rigs driving out of that area at 2 p.m. to find a better place to stay elsewhere.
I think, John...
It's just a mess.
I think that strategic location of Council of Leo, the issues.
But the comment I made last time, John, was that there are caravan parks in town. And these people can choose, if they wish, to stay in a caravan park. And so they're not forced to stay in that RV area. I would like to make that point, John. It's entirely their decision to stay there or not. So I think that is one point that needs to be considered. And that and I think that's a fair point, John. We've got caravan parks that spend a lot of money spending, you know, setting up their businesses and attracting tourists and providing excellent services to the people that stay in those caravan parks. And when you say, people call it free camping, but it's actually not free, John. It costs the ratepayers money. And so we've got a council at all times tasked with careful management of ratepayers' funds. And so that goes to the decisions and the way that area is maintained is always reflected in the decisions of council to look after ratepayers' funds.
I spoke to someone one day and they said, we've got to move out of our big four caravan because caravan parking place, there were two people because one was booked for the following night. So we had to go back into the other one. So the camp, even caravan parks are coming at a premium. And I think it's, because they're all putting in cabins and taking away the caravan parking areas. It's a bit of a something you can't win on.
Yeah, look, I know, John, and that is the case, but I think caravan parks are required to have a minimum number of caravan spots. Would that be correct, Shane?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's a, like you say, if they put it in through their like development plan and the ratio, and there's a mix in it, so it can vary.
And look, John, just a little bit further, there is another option available to council to develop as a more attractive and more, I guess, comfortable RV location, which council, you know, are considering at the moment. And so there is a reluctance to spend money in that location until final decisions have been made on and actually a much better location than that.
Thank you. Since I recorded my questions at the April meeting, there was now a ban on recording meetings. Isn't this shooting yourself in the foot? As when the media attend a meeting, they will have to give notice of attendance days prior to the meeting. Where is the transparency of local government gone?
Thanks for that question, John. I think there are local laws around that. And is it, Shane, would you be able to assist with that question?
Yeah, so this meeting is being recorded. And so if you want to access the recording, we can provide that. It will be available on our website. Mm-hmm. So
10 days after. Seth.
Yeah.
So if something happens, it's going to take 10 days to get to the newspapers.
John, can I, John, if I may, these council meetings are open to everybody, you can see tonight with yourself. Anybody who wishes to come in here and listen to what decisions and discussions and debate can do so whenever they feel like. And recording is just another way of, I guess, making that available. But the doors are open, John. Anyone can come in and listen.
This is, thank you, CR 48. Was that passed by council?
I'm sorry.
That just added to the agenda.
Would you mind expanding on that a bit for us?
Council Regulation 48.
What is Council Regulation 48?
Well, that's what it says on... He should know it. That's what it says when I looked it up. CR 48 was this non-recording of meetings.
Could I just take that question on notice then, please, John?
Okay, thank you. Why has it taken 5 months so far to rectify the yellow spinning ball in the Port Denison playground? I reported this problem on the 25th of March via email. One of the barbecues at the shelter has also been out of action for a similar amount of time. That's what the cleaner told me. 5 months.
Can I just take that one on notice, please, John, because that's an operational question which we need to find out what's going on.
That is a long time. Oh, there were three kids sitting in there during school holidays as well. It was out of action. You've got to pull it around because the bearing is seizing up. There was a woman, there were three kids in there, and she was struggling to turn the bloody thing around.
Okay, Johnny Cappy, I'll take that on notice.
Why are there no street signs on William Street and Samuel Street?
Can I take that on notice as well?
You'll have to, isn't it? Why is the sand mitigation works on South Beach turning into a reticulated grass lawn area?
Can I please take that on notice, John? These are questions I can't answer without information.
Thanks very much, Mr. President. I'll look forward to the written response, which is usually very bad for me.
Thanks, John. And look, just a comment, John. I think a couple of meetings ago you did mention the possibility of a sliding door at the medical centre.
Yeah, I did, yes.
And I believe that it is... has been put into our draft budget for consideration by council.
There was also another question I asked earlier in the year about selling medical centre. I can't find any skerrick of it in the minutes, in the recorded minutes or the minutes. It's not there.
I'll treat that as a question if you like, John, and we can take that one on notice.
That we sold it? Is that correct? That the Shire has sold the medical centre?
I asked why the Shire wants to putting the medical centre up for sale.
Right.
It's not no mention of it. You don't want to know.
Why are we putting it up?
Why haven't we put it up?
I asked why it wasn't being put up for sale.
Okay, thanks, Don. Can I take that one note? Don, just can I take that on notice, please?
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, John. Thanks again for your questions, John. Okay, we'll move on from that. Declarations of interest, there is nil, that's item five. Item six, applications for leave of absence is nil. Item seven, petitions and deputations is nil. Item eight, confirmation of minutes and tabling of agenda forum notes. 8.1, minutes of the ordinary council meeting held 22nd of July 2025. The officer recommendation is that council confirms the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held 22nd of July 2025. Could I have a mover for that item, please? Councillor Tunbridge, sir. Seconder. Councillor Summers, all those in favour? Thanks, Council. Motion is carried. 8.2, agenda forum notes. Notes from the agenda forum are included in the attachment booklet, August 2025. The recommendation is that council confirms the notes of the agenda forum held 19th of August 2025. Could I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Wise, seconder. Councillor Gillam, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you, Council. Item 9, announcements by the person presiding without discussion. On the 28th of July 2025, the CEO attended boat grant tender mandatory site meeting. 31st of July 2025, Shire President and CEO attending Midwest Development attended the Midwest Development Commission catch up. 7th of August 2025, the Shire President and the CEO met with the Honourable Jackie Jarvis MLC and the Honourable Sandra Carr MLC at the Port Denison foreshore. 12th of August 2025, the CEO met with GHD on site to discuss the foreshore master plan. 14th of August 2025, CEO attended the Walga Transport and Roads Forum 2025. 14th of August 2025, the Shire President attended the RDRP PAG update. 15th of August 2025, CEO met with Strike Energy CEO. 19th of August 2025, the CEO met with David Smith. 20th of August 2025, the CEO attended the monthly MEPAU meeting. 25th of August 2025, the CEO and Councillor Scott attended the Walga Northern Country Zone meeting at the Shire of Brindley. Item 10, reports of officers and committees. 10.1, finance reports. Finance 01-08/25, accounts for payment July 2025. Report purpose for council to receive the list of accounts paid under delegated authority during July 2025. The officer recommendation there is for your council. Could I have a mover for that item, please, council? Councillor Gillam, seconder. Councillor Scott, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Thanks, council. Finance 02-08/25, monthly financial statements June 2025. Report purpose is for council to consider and receive the monthly financial statements for the period 1st July 2024 to the 30th of June 2025. The recommendation is that council by simple majority receives the monthly financial statements for the period 1st July 2024 to the 30th of June 2025. As contained in finance 02-08/25, attachment 2 of the attachment booklet, August 2025. Can I have a move for that item, please, Council? Councillor Tunbridge, second, and Councillor Scott, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Thanks, Council. Finance 03-08/25, 2025-26 annual budget. Report purpose for council to consider and adopt the Shire of Irwin annual budget for the 2025-26 financial year, together with supporting schedules, including imposition of rates and minimum payments, adoption of fees and charges, setting of elected members' fees for the year, and other consequential matters arising from the budget papers. The recommendation Part A, Council, use municipal fund budget for 2025-26. You can see the recommendation there, Council. Could I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Wise, seconder Councillor Summers. All those in favour? Question is carried. Thanks, Council. Recommendation part B, general and minimum rates instalment payment arrangements. Learned quite a bit there, Council. So could I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Wise, seconder Councillor Melson. All those in favour? Motion is carried. Thanks, Council. Recommendation part C, fees and charges for 2025-26. Do I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Tunbridge, move it. Seconder, Councillor Summers. All those in favour? Motion is carried. Recommendation part D, elected members' fees and allowances for 2025-26. Could I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Scott, seconder, Councillor Gillam. All those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you, Council. Recommendation part E, material variance reporting for 2025-26. Move for that item, please, Council. Councillor Gillam, seconder. Councillor Summers, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you very much, Council. And can I just make a quick note, and I'd like to thank our officers and our CEO. I'm well aware that, as well as putting the budget together for us, we had the ERP implementation in the background, and it has been a very lengthy and, yes, intensive process. So, thank you very much for the efforts on this one. Thank you very much.
It's been brought to my attention in relation to the budget that in previous years we have put out information like this, which is basically shows for every $100 in rates you pay, and it provides a visual representation of where the money is spent. And they have asked if something like this could be prepared for the community to put in the rag and perhaps on the website.
Isabel, would you like to bring that up when we get into the reports later on?
Okay.
Thanks very much. 10.2, development reports. Development 01-08/25, July 2025, development delegated and authorised authority report. Report purpose is for Council to receive the July 2025 development delegated and authorised authority report. Recommendation is that Council, by simple majority, receives a July 2025 Development Delegated and Authorised Authority Report as contained in Development 01-08/25, Attachment 1. Will I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Tunbridge, seconder. Councillor Gillam, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you very much, Council. Community Service Reports is nil. 10.3, Community Service Reports is nil. 10.4, Operations Reports is nil. 10.5, Office of the CEO Reports. CEO 01-08/25, Request for Tender 01-2025, Port Denison Boating Facility Upgrade, Stage 1. The report purpose, accept tender 01-2025, Port Denison Boating Facility Upgrade, Stage 1. The recommendation is there, Council. Could I have a mover for that item, please, Council? Councillor Wise, seconder Councillor Melson. All those in favour? Councillor Scott?
Oh, sorry. I was
Melson. Okay. Thank you. Motion is carried. We move on to committee 10.6. Committee reports is nil. Item 11, motions of which previous notice has been given is nil. 12, questions by members of which due notice has been given is nil. 13, urgent business approved by the person presiding or by decision. Now, Councillor Scott has requested that the late item under urgent business approved by person presiding or by decision, which is the piece of paper.
It was actually a motion,
and a motion as well.
It's on the back side.
On the back. So, I haven't dealt with this one in the past, so I'm a little bit up in the air with this. Shane, could I just get some advice? If council would like to discuss this, do we need to go out of standing orders?
I mean, that would be ideal.
Okay, I'll just give Council a minute to read through this and then I'll move forward. I guess the recommendation would be that Council suspends the meeting as per clause 17.1 of the Shire of Irwin Meeting Procedures Local Law 2016 at 6:29 PM to consider item 13 in the agenda, urgent business approved by person presiding or by decision. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Could I have a move for that item, please? Councillor Wise, second to Councillor Gillam. All those in favour? Okay, motion is carried. Okay, thanks, Council. I guess, first up, Council, look, thanks very much, Bill, for bringing this to Council and giving us the opportunity to see this. It is on the President, according to my advice, it's on the President to, you know, I can decide to put this through or not, and I do need to be guided by 5.4 new business of an urgent nature. And this is the leading procedure laws. One, in cases of extreme urgency or other special circumstances. So, yeah, extreme urgency or other special circumstances, matters may, on a motion by the presiding member that is carried by the meeting, be raised without notice and decided by the meeting. And two, in some clause one, cases of extreme urgency or other special circumstances mean matters that have arisen after the preparation of the agenda that are considered by the presiding member to be of such importance and urgency that they are unable to be dealt with administratively by the local government and must be considered and dealt with by the council before the next meeting. So that is the guide on how or whether the President should consider this item. Could I ask for comments on that, please, Council? I will be guided by Council on this.
I'd just like to ask Isabel to explain exactly what the urgency is in this, and that'll give us some clarification. Yeah. That would be very helpful.
Yep. Yeah. The fact of the matter is that there is one Council meeting prior to the election. And I think that this is an issue which I would like to have clarity on, because if someone actually asked me what happened to IAC, I can't give them an answer. I don't know what happened to IAC. I have some assumptions which may or may not be correct, but I sort of feel that as a sitting councillor who is going to nominate for re-election, it is in my interest, well, not only my interest, it's in the interest of every councillor sitting at the table, that they actually have a full understanding of everything which took place, which led. And again, I actually don't know the current state of the IAC. Is it still operational in any form? Is it working in a reduced capacity? You know, like, there are questions I simply can't answer. And because the last meeting is in September, I would like those answers prior to that meeting so that I have clarity going forward. And as I say, I would like, that's why I've put it as a matter of urgency, because there's only one meeting left. And to be honest, I hadn't thought about IAC for some time in any real depth until it was raised as a matter, obviously during the CEO's performance appraisal. But then again, at the Country Zone yesterday, when I realised the value of the information that IAC had actually secured, and it's and certainly its potential importance to securing our water security, and perhaps, you know, like solving many of the energy problems that this region faces, then I made me think that perhaps we should look more deeply at the IAC and the circumstances surrounding it, its current status, and whether or not there is an opportunity for it to be viable in the future or not. I guess that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Any other comments? Thanks very much.
We've got the existing IAC, we've got a base to launch more projects from, so that would help. I also question why we need to desalinate at Arrowsmith when water has to be pumped 100 kilometres to Jura from there.
Yeah, so go on.
Can I? Because the actual network, the pipe network, isn't 100 kilometres from Arrowsmith. In fact, the pipe network is closer to Arrowsmith than it is from Okeji. So there would actually be a cost saving to the government.
Okay. But you're still going to move that physical water 100 kilometres.
Yes, well, once it's in the pipes, yeah.
Could I just add, I've had a quick talk to, talk to Shane prior to the meeting, and he did mention that it's perhaps it's something that could be covered at a discussion that will come next discussion session where items like that could be discussed. It still doesn't, I guess, fit the time frame prior to the election, but it will provide an opportunity for a wider discussion, I guess, at a discussion, and then could still go to the September meeting, and the report would still be available, to councillors, whether they're coming, on, staying on, or re-elected, so on. It would just provide a little, forum for a discussion around the subject. And then it could then go to council and, be dealt with once there's a greater understanding. That's one way to look at it.
And I just have one comment in terms of what's just been said and then the motion that's written. I think perhaps then we need some clarity around the motion in terms of, is the intention of the report simply to provide the information to Power WA? Because that's how I read it and interpreted it. But then you've just said, Isabel,
I would actually like more clarity
as a councillor.
Or the whole council, because I suspect if you ask every councillor and sitting around the table, most councillors actually don't know exactly what happened to Iron.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it reads the same in the motion. So I just wonder if there's some clarity required there.
So
if that was,
how do you feel the wording should be changed, perhaps?
That was yours.
To provide clarity?
Yeah, to council.
To provide openness and accountability.
And, is that information then being made?
Well, if it was a report, then
where is that? Where else is that going in relation
to the power?
I suppose in response to Lisa's comments, I mean, my reading of the page front and back is that I suppose these issues that were raised at the country zone meeting probably just highlight the significance of what IAC was set up to do, I suppose. This is its time to shine after those questions being raised, talking about major power and water infrastructure to the region. So I suppose it's saying is the motion version business. In a way, they're saying if IAC's not ready to jump, because the whole intention, as I understood several years ago, of IAC was to have the information collated so that when an opportunity like this came up, we were ready to act on it immediately, or the IAC was ready to provide information to government and agencies immediately. So if it's not in that state at present, I suppose it's a case of we probably need to review, given the investment that council put into IAC, review why it's not ready. And I'm not sure that another council discussion, we've had multiple discussions around the table about IAC, and I don't think anyone's really left the room really much wiser about it after discussions. I think that as it reads here, getting the facts laid out on paper and a timeline of events related to it would probably be beneficial if it's, I mean, if it's there and ready to act on the issues as I like in front of the page, then all well and good. But not, probably knows no why.
Questions, I mean.
Any more comments, Council? It's, I guess the other question that I'm, you know, having to consider is, you know, cases of extreme urgency. And that's where I need to, you know, base on whether this, you know, I have to be guided by that.
Sorry, Mr. President, one question. When they're saying the KVA, is that the great big towers coming from Eneabba? Are they the big power cables? No, the towers?
330, the big towers.
Are they the monsters? Okay. It's going to change the skyline for a while.
It's just been muted for the last at least 20 years that I've known of those big debates out in the farming community at least 20 years ago about the 330 KVA lines going through from Three Springs to walk away at that stage.
We go.
Okay, Council, is there any further comments on that? And I guess it's up to me to make it is up to the presiding officer to decide whether it is a case of extreme urgency. Because we have an election coming, I guess that is that the urgency, Isabel?
Well, I think it is. I think that prior to the election, the whole council should be fully informed about everything pertaining to the IAC and its current status.
Isabel, I have no doubt that what the information here and the motion is seeking to address is well worthwhile, absolutely well worthwhile. And I thank you for it. It's just a question of extreme urgency that I'm wrestling with as the presiding member. But I get a feeling that council considers this as urgent. So
can I just also say that Councillor Tunbridge has also suggested some amendment to the motion, which the motion hasn't been put yet. So I'm just wondering if we could include so that the CEO prepare a report on the current status of the Irwin Arrowsmith Advisory Council, IAC, providing full disclosure of correspondence, meetings, collated information and directives, which have led to its current status, to be presented to Council at the ordinary member of council in September and made available to those government agencies that the information was intended for at the time of IAC's formation. I can pass that to you, Sue, but is council happy? Are you happy for that, Mr. President?
Oh, look, I think as Councillor Gillam has put forward is that any information that IAC has, I guess that's what it was put together for.
Mm.
And so if there's information there that can benefit the things that you put forward, you know, and the information you brought from the Northern Zone, you know, I think that's good. We need to do, you know, that's sitting there and we're not using it, council have spent some money on that, you know, on that information, and it needs to be used.
Okay.
So I think that's a very good point. So, I think so. I'm just looking at the motion as well. And is it useful, which has led to its current status, or we just move on? It is what it is, and then let's get the information together. The use?
Its current status, meetings, directors. I don't know. I'd like a full picture. You know, like obviously there's been a downturn in industry, but I'd like a full picture because, you know, was there ever an opportunity for a presentation to be made to council so that council could actually consider ways to address things prior to things happening? You know, and again, I'm speaking vaguely because I actually don't know what's happened.
I don't really know. I think it was just we lost quite a few of the industry groups, didn't we, Shane?
But then I guess that says, could it have continued at a reduced capacity? You know, I get, you know, that I think there are a number of questions which I don't think have been adequately addressed, and I would like to see addressed in the interests of transparency.
Okay, well, that's can I just ask Council, do are you happy for the President to consider this extreme urgency?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that. Thank you. Now, I'm still, as I haven't dealt with this one before, thanks again, Isabel.
Sorry.
It says here, matters on a motion by the presiding.
So, before we move the motion, could I ask that Sue marks it so we can all see it as written on
the
Shane and I have been just discussing the motion. One suggestion. Which I'd like to put before we actually put the motion is that it says CEO prepare a report on the current status of the Irwin Harris Metropolitan Council, providing full disclosure, correspondence, media, collated information, directives, and then this section here, which has led to its current status.
Okay, and its current status. Less wordy.
And then we're getting what we need.
Yep.
Still take out led to.
And its current status. So.
And its.
Led to its.
No, just led.
And led to.
Led to. Just and its current status.
Delete.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
There we go.
Go, mate.
Okay, thanks very much, Council. Look, so what I'll do then is we've got to come back into standing orders. So so I will put a motion to Council that Council reconvenes the meeting as per clause 17.1 of the Shire of Eld Meeting Procedural Local Law 2016 at 6:53 PM. Do I have a move of that on? Council Gillam, seconder, Councillor Byers, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Okay, Council. Now, as per item 13, urgent business approved by person presiding or by decision, I will put the motion to Council for by decision. Okay, so because there is a choice there, by approved by person presiding or by decision, so this will come to Council for decision. So the motion is.
It's back again now.
Thank you. Motion is that CEO prepare a report on the current status of the Irwin Arrowsmith Advisory Council, providing full disclosure of correspondence, meetings, collated information and directives, and its current status to be presented to Council at the ordinary council meeting of at the ordinary meeting of Council in September 2020. And be made available to those government agencies that the information was intended for at the time of IAC's formation. So,
do we need to have September 25?
I think so.
And it is referred to as an OCM, right? So ordinary council meeting.
Okay, Council, is everybody happy? What I do is I'll put the motion, Council. So do I have a mover for that item, please, Council?
Sorry, a mover.
Council Scott, seconder. Councillor Gillam, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Okay, thank you very much, Council. And again, thank you very much for bringing that to Councillor Scott. We move on to item 14, matters for which the meeting is closed to the public. The recommendation is that Council close the meeting to the public at 6:55 PM in accordance with section 5.232A and C of the Local Government Act 1995 to discuss item 14.1 CEO 02-08/25 CEO performance review. So could I have a move for that item, please, Council? Councillor Summers, seconded, Councillor Wise, all those in favour? Motion is carried. Could I please request the gallery members, thanks very much, Item 15, I announce closure at 7:01 p.m. Thank you very much, councillors.